From Podcast Detroit Studios in the heart of the Motor City, it's time for your source for Blue Collar Talk, the ARC Junkies podcast. Here's your host, Jimmy McKnight.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 32 of ARC Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight, and I am very excited because today on the ARC Junkie Lines, we are talking to Liam Hoffman of Hoffman Blacksmithing, the youngest winner of the Forged in Fire Challenge on History Channel. Liam, it's an absolute honor to have you on the show. Welcome, sir.
Thanks, Jimmy. I'm glad to be here.
Seriously, it's such an honor to have you here. I watch your videos. I'm a huge fan of the stuff that you do. Especially the work that you do. And I'm halfway through your book right now, which is absolutely eye-opening to me because as somebody who's very interested in starting down the path of blacksmithing, you know, when you look up the cost of some of the things like an anvil, and I mean, it almost totally deters you because, you know, these things can be a couple $1,000s, you know, and right away you're like, oh my God,
ridiculous.
Right. You're like, how am I going to afford something like this? And then, you know, you start reading your book and you realize that there are alternative ways to get to the same end. So I'd really like to kind of, turn the mic over to you to kind of let the listeners know a little bit more about what your actual book is about.
My book is titled Forged, A Guide to Becoming a Blacksmith. I think the title is pretty much accurate and appropriate for the content of the book. The point is to simply give you a guide to become a blacksmith and not spend a ton of money, but also give you the option to spend a lot of money if you want to. I started writing the book just because I was getting asked on Instagram daily the same questions over and over and over. And some of them would be like, how do I start? And it's like, how do I answer that in an Instagram message?
Right.
So I'd end up like, I couldn't even answer all these questions. So I decided to start to write the book. And, the first half of the book, contains information that you can find in most other beginning blacksmithing books. But it's relevant for modern times. So I go through the tools that, are essential, the tools that are luxury, how much the tools cost, where to buy the tools. I talk about different sizes of shops, what that size will do for you in terms of the type of product that you make and what type of volume that you make it in. So I just lay out plain and simple, like, listen, you're going to spend this much money, you're going to have this size shop, this is what you can expect. Because a lot of people that are just getting into this, they have no idea. Maybe they think that they need like a 2,000 square foot shop to get started, which isn't true. So I wanted to make it like plain and simple, do this, get this. The second half of the book is where I think that it gets more unique. It sets it apart from other books. And I talk about how to teach yourself, which is a big part of the answer to the question of how do I get started? Because, back in the day, you had apprenticeships through the local blacksmith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's really no local blacksmith anymore. Or if there is a quote unquote local blacksmith, they're not going to, you know, devote 5-7 years of their life to take on an apprentice, which, you know, and as the apprentice, you don't get paid for that. It's just, it can't happen in 2018. So usually you have to learn how to do it yourself and teach yourself. And, I talk about, you know, the most, efficient and effective way to go about doing that, you know, waste less time and whatnot, teaching yourself. And then just my approach on real world safety at the end of the book as well. Just tying it up, you know, with an afterword in the end of what I think modern blacksmithing is today. So, you know, the point of the book is just to get you started in a fast, smart way, you know?
Oh yeah. One of the main points that I really like about the book and your whole approach to this is how much importance you actually stress on starting with the basics. Because, I mean, too much in today's society, you know, everybody wants the fast, quick buck. They want to get to the end, you know, quicker than everybody else. Everything's fast paced. And this is an art form where everything is really slowed down. You can't speed this process up. It comes as it comes. And I love how emphasize in your book that, you know, starting with the basics really is going to help mold you into the better blacksmith in the long run versus, you know, somebody that just has a bunch of money to throw in and buy a power hammer and all these other things, which are awesome tools, don't get me wrong, and wonderful stuff. But if you start with that, you're not exactly going to know what it takes to sit there and say, hammer this piece out that you had to do for 12 hours that you can do in, you know, 5 minutes on the power hammer, you know, and that character building is now gone. So I love that you really bring that up and stress the importance of that in your book.
Yeah. And you see those guys out there in the blacksmithing community, the ones that buy everything and, you know, you look at their work and it's just, it doesn't look like the work that would be coming from someone that's got $40,000 of tools in their shop.
Right.
So you wonder, like, you know, why that's happening. And yeah, that's one of the big things that I want to talk about is just the benefit from what I call it in the book is buying skills temptation. You know, don't buy your skills. It's a very human temptation with anything. You know, you try to solve a problem by throwing money at it. But this is one of those things where that's not going to help at all. It's probably going to make your whole blacksmithing experience worse for you. It's going to be detrimental to your learning curve.
Right. That's what I think is so attractive to me about it because, I mean, just like welding, which, I mean, this show mainly focuses on welding for the most part, but I like to veer off and talk about cool stuff like this too because I feel that it's very relative in the fact that you have to earn it every step of the way. It's not a skill that – you're right. You can't just throw money at it and then be good at it. You have to earn it 100% every step. You know, there's no shortcuts to this. There really isn't. I mean, there is, but it hurts you in the long run.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about your experience with Forged in Fire because, I mean, that had to be absolutely huge to you. Again, another thing I'm a huge fan of. I love watching Forged in Fire. I think the bladesmithing that goes on in that is absolutely amazing. How did that whole thing kind of how did that happen for you? Did you contact them? Did they contact you? And what was the experience like actually going on TV and competing with other bladesmiths?
Well, overall, you know, it was a good, really good experience for me. So, they contacted me. They basically contact, I wouldn't be surprised if you get contacted in the next couple of years. They contact literally anyone that has any affiliation with knife making. So, I got contacted and originally the first two times, I think I turned them down just cause I didn't think that it was something that I should be doing for, you know, for whatever reason, I thought that it made knife makers look bad to the public that isn't familiar with knife making.
Why do you think that?
Well, just because it's reality TV and they don't portray, like actual how people do things. A lot of things are left out. A lot of lines are taken out of context, cut and pasted.
To enhance, you know, drama.
It's a competition. It's drama.
Yeah.
It's not. So that was why I hesitated. And then a friend of mine, also a fellow knife maker, convinced me to do it. He said, I don't really have anything to lose. I was 19 years old. And, I mean, what is there to lose?
Yeah. Really? Right.
So I decided to do it. And, with the intent of winning, of course. I know a lot of people who've been on it. Some people go just for the experience, you know, or whatever your reason is. I was there 100% to win from the start. I trained for this thing for almost 3 months. Like, I put a pull-up bar outside my shop. I was doing pull-ups in between. I was training so hard.
It was like your own little Rocky montage.
Yeah, and, you know, you've seen the show. I mean, you see so many characters that get on there. I was expecting to get to the final round and go against someone that didn't have a ton of experience. And so and you don't know who you're going against until like that morning.
Right.
So I get there and, I meet the guys and I didn't recognize any of their names, but we're showing each other's work. And, the master bladesmith pulls up a picture of his, master smith set, his test set for master bladesmith. And at that moment, I thought for sure, like I was done for, like I'm smoked at that point. Like,
right.
This is over. And I was, got kind of discouraged at that point, but
that was all mind games.
Yeah. Did my thing. And, you know, it worked for me in the end. Basically, I just had the attitude that I got nothing to lose. I'm not going to sweat it too hard. I'm just going to do the best I can and everything. And, so that worked out for me, and, it definitely helped with business and everything, as you can imagine. So it was good. It's a good experience.
I was going to say, what did you really take from that now? I mean, is there anything you learned in that experience that you kind of incorporated into, you know, your day-to-day smithing, that you're doing now?
I didn't think of anything specifically that like, I took away from it. I mean, it's just a good experience to fly to New York and, be on, you know, like national television. I guess one thing I could take away from it is, maybe it taught me to be a little bit less nervous in front of crowds, or, you know, stay cool under pressure or whatever. Cause you know, you're, being surrounded by camera people and it's weird, you know, you're there doing it. And then at the same time, you're thinking this is going to be on national television. And then you're trying to tell yourself not to think about that. So, I'd say that it helped me, stay cool and, work under pressure better.
Very cool. You're very, very well known for making axes, and the axes you make are absolutely just ridiculous, gorgeous, and super tough looking. What is happening at Hoffman or at Hoffman Blacksmithing right now that is that you're very much focused on? Are you pumping out axes, or are you going into other things right now? What does Hoffman Blacksmithing mainly focus and turn out?
Well, the production thing going on in my business right now is axes. That's the bottom line, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else kind of revolves around that. So we're focusing on trying to pump them out as fast as possible. I'm waiting on a new shop is being built right now for me. So we're just waiting on that to get finished so I can move into there and really start increasing everything. But other than the axes, I'm doing custom knives. So I make about one custom knife for every 70 axes, to give you an idea of how many. Like, I don't make a ton of knives.
Right.
But that's kind of my filler thing in between axes that I can do, or if I get tired of axes one day, I'll switch to custom knives and like YouTube videos every now and then. I find it hard to do YouTube videos with my schedule. I plan on actually hiring on a media guy when I get in the new shop. It's pretty much all worked out, planned out that this is going to happen. That's going to make YouTube videos for me, so it won't take away from my production stuff, you know. So I can have a bigger presence on YouTube, which will be cool. People will be able to see more of what I do and in the shop and stuff. And then, of course, just working on other stuff like the book. I've got plans for other types of online educational type stuff, some online videos, teaching DVDs and stuff like that. So as far as the custom knives go, I'm working on my Journeyman Smith set right now. So for those that aren't familiar with the ABS, you first join the ABS and you're Apprentice Smith, then you have to test for Journeyman Smith. Then once you get Journeyman Smith, you can test for Master Smith. So I'm going to be testing for my Journeyman Smith in June this year. So that's a big thing that I'm working on right now.
Awesome, man. We're pulling for you. We really hope you get it. I have a quick question though, man. I'm wondering, you know, because I mean, it is so focused on axes. You're saying you're putting out 70 for every knife that you make. Why do you think the axes is what really took off? I mean, outside of the basic answer that, you know, they're badass and beautiful, why do you think it is that the axes really took off for you?
It's just a combination of things. Part of it, probably the lucky aspect of it, is that there happens to be like a axe resurgence right now. For whatever reason, axes are popular mm-hmm. online. And from what I've heard, like, this wasn't the case 20 years ago. People weren't into axes. Now people are into axes. So that's just kind of lucky that I'm in that time period. The reason I started making axes is just because I thought they looked cool.
Right, like, right.
You know, I'm going to try making one of these. And it ended up, you know, that I enjoyed it and that I really got into it. And then after I started really getting into it, I've discovered that there's really not many other people doing it. And it'd be a lot better for me to do this instead of making knives. But sometimes people think that I make axes because it was a good business decision or something. It's nothing. That's not the case at all. You know, I make axes because I like making axes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens to be that there's not many other people doing it. It happens to be that it's a popular thing nowadays. So that's the reason it's kind of taken off. It's just, it's working right now. So we're just trying to make the most of it.
Awesome. You had mentioned just before this that you're working towards your journeyman bladesmith. Is there like a year's requirement? Like, I know, like, say for an electrician journeyman, you know, you got to have your 4 years in, documented time, all that kind of stuff. Is there anything like that to get your journeymans, or do you just kind of have to show that you can do these certain things?
Yeah, there is a minimum time. It's 3 years, I believe.
Okay.
This is the first year that I'll be eligible. After joining, I actually thought that I was eligible last year, and I was off by like a month. So I couldn't do it last year. So this will be my first year. And then after you get journeyman smith, you have 2 years before you can do master smith. And if you fail, journeyman or master, you have to wait a year before retesting. And I believe you only get two or no more than three, chances to test for each one.
Right on. Very cool. Liam, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, man. And pick your brain and figure out what you guys are doing there. The stuff you guys are making is absolutely amazing. And I again, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before I let you go, please plug your social media where people can find you, plug your YouTube channel where people can watch you, and your website where they can buy your products.
Okay. Thanks a bunch. All my online stuff is just Hoffman Blacksmithing. If you type in Hoffman Blacksmithing, or if you even just type in, maybe Liam Hoffman Blacksmithing would probably bring it up. So you can, check out everything there. It would be great.
Awesome, man. Again, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And, I can't wait to have you back on sometime soon. I look forward to finishing your book, and best of luck on your journeymans in June. We'll be pulling for you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. That's it for this episode. Thank you so very much for listening. You can email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. Let me know if you like what I'm doing or don't like what I'm doing. If you are an Apple iTunes listener, please remember to hit subscribe. That way you never miss an episode. And also leave a review, because your reviews help this show reach higher on the rankings and ultimately more people. This episode was sponsored by ESOB Welding and Cutting Products, with over 100 years of service in the welding industry. And until next time, work safe and weld hard.